To start off with, I want to tell you some absolutely unbelievable news that happened this week. You ready? Yeah. I won the lottery.
What?
$15 million. And I should get the payout in a couple of months, they said. Well, I sure wish that was true. But you notice how I said unbelievable? Wasn't lying. But let's think about this for a second. If we had that kind of good news, wouldn't we want to tell somebody? Maybe not the whole world, because they'd be knocking at our door. But we would surely want to share it with someone, right? It's that kind of great news. Let me move forward and flip that around a little bit. Let's consider this. It's Florida, right? Let's say that you were sitting at the beach, just hanging out on a beautiful Sunday day, a sunny day, doesn't have to be Sunday, and you're sitting with your chair and you got your umbrella, maybe you got your book, and you're looking out over the water and people are playing in the waves and the kids are running up and down and everything is just lovely. But you're sitting there, you're staring out at the blue water, and you see this funny looking dark shape cutting through the water. And you know, it's got this funny little triangle sticking out of the water. Now you tell me what you would do. If you were in the water, you'd get out. But for those people who are in that water, what are you going to do? You're going to start yelling, right? That imminent danger would surely spur us to start screaming, "Get out of the water, there's a shark," right? And start, if you had to, start dragging people out. Maybe their hearing aid wasn't in, right? Well, this sermon message, I'm not supposed to say sermon, but my message today, private joke, that's my wife. Here at Christ the Cornerstone Church, we sing a song, "Let Me Tell You About My Jesus." And actually, we sang that a couple of months ago when God spoke to my heart. It was just a quickening inside my heart. And He said to me, "When was the last time you told someone about Jesus?" And I had to really reflect and say, when was the last time I actually told someone the good news about Jesus Christ? It's been a while. And why? Why am I not shouting with joy to everybody around me like I would if I'd won the lottery? Why am I not warning people of the consequences of sin, of a life without God, like I would if there were dangerous sharks in the water? I didn't really have an answer. Let me tell you another story. Love stories, right? A few months ago, I was back in Chicago, and I was at a Starbucks. And up ahead of me, there was a young man in line. He was maybe early 20s. And he was positively glowing, just beaming at the counter. And he, you know, he placed his order, and the young woman took his order. And she happened to say to him, "So how are you?" You want to know what he answered? Now, if someone asked me how I was, I'd say, "Oh, I'm good." And we'd move on, right? This young man joyfully said to her, "I just became a born-again Christian, and my life has changed. Jesus made a difference in my life." I'm three or four people back, and my jaw is dropping, and I am thinking, wow, what an impression that made on me. Now, we have many accounts of Jesus sharing the good news. And of course, all those Bible scriptures, you can look them up. We'll read just a couple of them. But Jesus found ways to relate to people, to share the good news. I think he thought about it in advance, what he was going to do. So one example is in John chapter 4. This is a familiar passage. We've actually had a number of sermons on this recently. It's about the Samaritan woman at the well. So let's read this from chapter 4 of John. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now his disciples had gone into town to buy food. So basically Jesus was alone there. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you've said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." So let's think about that for a minute. The Samaritan woman was a stranger. She was an outcast. She was coming for water at noon, because nobody wanted to be with her, right? Normally, you would go out to draw water in the morning, right? So she's an outcast. But Jesus spoke to her. He spoke to a Samaritan. He spoke to a woman. And he found a way to relate to her. He got her curious. He got her talking quite a bit and thinking and trying to sidetrack, but thinking, right? And Jesus spoke to her and revealed himself to her. And later in that same Bible passage, a little bit further on, we read that that woman probably ran back to her town, and she started telling everybody about Jesus. Let's have another example of Jesus relating to people. It's in the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel. We see Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a learned leader of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him that he must be born again. Now, we know that phrase today. It makes sense to most of us in the church today. But when Nicodemus heard that the first time, it surely sounded strange. Born again? And Nicodemus asked him, "How can that be? How do you get born again?" But those words sparked a whole conversation. Jesus used that to get him curious, to start him talking. And in fact, in that passage of Scripture, we find John 3:16. How many of you got it memorized? Right? A lot of you, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That happened in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. Jesus found a way to relate. So when I think about this and I see the example of Jesus, I say, what's preventing me from sharing the biggest, the bestest, the greatest, the most wonderful news in the world? And I'm not being facetious. I'm serious. What is preventing me? And when I think about myself, I think, well, could I be shy or maybe afraid that I might embarrass myself? So then God laid on my heart. That's why we're wandering all over these scriptures. So God, you've got this meandering with me and God, right? So I'm thinking back to the Old Testament story regarding Moses. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but Moses was a very shy person. He didn't even want to talk. He made his brother talk for him. Kind of like I was with my twin sister. She did all the talking, and I was just quiet. And she'd yell at me about it. And I'd say, they don't know the difference. We look alike. So I could get away with not talking because I was very shy. But this passage I want to read for us in Numbers chapter 20, verses 2 to 12. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs or grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Well, Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Is there a problem here? But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community, into the land I give them. Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it. Now, earlier in Exodus chapter 17, God had told Moses to strike the rock at Horeb, and water did come out of it, and the Israelites drank. But this time, God said specifically to speak to the rock. Now, I imagine, now you all know my imagination, it runs a little wild. I think Moses might have been a little shy. What would you have said to the rock? I'm talking to a rock. It might have made him feel silly. Right? Now, some of you have no inhibitions. I can see y'all talking. Some of you talking to a rock. What would you have said? Water, come on out. I don't know. But that's what God told Moses to do. And because he didn't obey him, God did not let him travel into the promised land with the people. He got to go up at the top of a mountain before he died, and he got to see it all, but he wasn't able to pass into the promised land. In the New Testament, on the topic of being shy or embarrassed, we read in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's powerful. It changes lives. Again, in Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and cover it over with a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes God puts us in a position in space and time for the express purpose of doing what he tells us to do to save someone. He puts you in that line in that grocery store. He puts you in that waiting room in that doctor's office next to that person. Now, this was the case with Queen Esther. Again, I'm all over the place, but back in the Old Testament, you can go read the story. The book of Esther, it's only 10 chapters long. It's a great story. But basically, God puts this young, beautiful Jewish woman into the position of queen. Esther becomes queen miraculously. And she ends up having an opportunity to appeal to the king to save the Israelite people. But she was afraid. She was afraid that if she spoke out, she could be put to death. Now her cousin, Mordecai, a godly man, admonishes her in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Jesus commanded us to share the good news of salvation. He died, he resurrected, and just before he ascended into the heavens, Jesus told his disciples what we've come to term the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That was Jesus' parting words to us. Go tell about me. Peter, in 1 Peter 3:15, says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Get prepared. All right, so for the practical part of this message, what should we do? Well, number one, look for ways to open a conversation. That's what Jesus did. Find a way to relate to the people around us. Now, some of you all came from big cities, right? Public transportation. When I sit on the Chicago trains, I sit like this and I don't look at anybody or talk to anybody, right? Find a way to relate to the people around you. Number two, like Peter said, be ready with an answer. Think about, pray about how to approach people. If someone asks you, like they ask the young man at Starbucks ahead of me, how's your day going? You could say fine, or you could say, I have the greatest love in my life, and my day is great, or whatever else God says to tell you. But be ready, prepare an answer. Get them curious. Pray that God would lay someone, a specific person, on your heart, and then look for an opportunity to share the story of salvation with them. Number three, don't be shy. I'm talking to myself, but maybe some of you too. God will give you the courage and the words to share. So here are a few ideas for sharing the gospel with someone. Number one, if you don't know what to say, you got John 3:16. And you can share what Jesus did for you. It's your story, your God's story, how he changed you. Number two, and I know you're all very curious about this. We're going to get to that mysterious little thing. Ready? We're going to read this book together. Now, this is a wordless, colorless book for those of you on Facebook. This was first used by a great man of God back in the 1800s, 1866, Charles Spurgeon. He was a great preacher. The book tells about salvation. So some of these pages are stuck together, so you might have to unstick them a little. So we turn first to the black page. Black represents sin, separation from God, darkness. There's no light, right? The Bible says all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, broken the commandments. Biggest commandment, love God with everything you got and love each other, right? We've all broken that commandment. But let's turn to the red page. Shall we read the red page together? Any guesses? The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. He gave his life for us, for our sins. Now, the Old Testament is filled with sacrifices of animals. The Bible says there's no forgiveness for sin without the shedding of blood. I don't get it. I don't know why, but that was the deal that God set down. There had to be a sacrifice. And they sinned and sinned, and they had to keep sacrificing until the one true Lamb of God came and laid down his life for us. And then, because we accepted Christ's forgiveness, our sins were washed away. We become as white as snow. Though they were scarlet, we've become like the whitest wool, right? On to the gold page. Starting now, once you've accepted Christ into your heart, you've got an eternity ahead of you with God. He says that when we get to heaven, even the streets will be paved with gold. Our most precious metal here on earth is going to be the stuff we walk on in heaven. The Bible says it hasn't even entered into our minds everything he's going to have prepared for us. It's going to be glorious. Lastly, green. So now that we've accepted Christ, he's forgiven our sins, we have an eternity with him, what are we supposed to do? Grow in Christ. Become his disciples. Be like him. Have the fruit of the Spirit growing within you. Christ the Cornerstonians. Spiritual enrichment and growth. Right. So we have more of these. Take it. Remind yourself about it. Share it with somebody if you choose. They're yours. So what else might we do from a practical standpoint? Well, you could invite someone to listen to Reverend Joyce Stone's podcast, All God Is. Now, you thought she retired, right? That woman's been busy. But in this podcast, All God Is, it's on Spotify and she talks about real people and what God has done in their lives. Let me tell you about my Jesus. What's your faith journey? What's he done for you? And so even if you can't articulate to someone, you could say, hey, go listen to this podcast, right? Number four, invite somebody to church. They can come and they can see your shining faces. They can see God's love in action. They can hear the message preached, the good news here. You could all, I got props today. I've been taught by the best. You could also give them a copy of this book, Searching for Purpose, Find Answers in 60 Minutes. I can't tell you how many young people are out there trying to find a purpose in life. That's why this was written. Now you can buy it on Amazon, but we got a bunch of free copies in the back. So if you want a copy of this, grab it. It kind of takes you through an encapsulated look at the Bible and what is life all about anyway. We also have some smaller pamphlets. You can pick some of these up out in the foyer in the lobby there. But it talks you through some of the points to get prepared. So if you're not comfortable sharing the message of Jesus' news, you can read this and get more comfortable. So at the end here, what matters is that we tell about Jesus. That's what matters. Try to make it practical, grounded in Scripture. But we have got the best news ever. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's pray. Wonderful God, you have done so much for us. Help us to step out of our comfort zone and tell others about your great love. Help us to see and to make opportunities to tell others about the good news of all you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.